This is Paul S. Kemp, creator of Angle and Nicks, and I am close, personal, sexy time friends with the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another thrilling episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that runs from a hockey game to come talk to you about nerd shit. We are also brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con going on October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm John.
And joining us today is our wonderful guest, Brenda, from the Vault of Midnight.
Hello.
Let's start it off like we always do. John, you got the news?
No, I didn't do news today.
Oh, well then that's fine. We'll skip the news.
Okay.
We won't start it off like we always do.
We normally start it off with the news.
I can still do it. Hello! Here's the news.
Listen, we wanted to talk. There's a lot going on, so we thought we'd kind of duck and move, bob and weave, and hit all the high points that have been going on in nerd culture lately. And one of the big ones is the overwhelming success of Wonder Woman. It saw the smallest box office drop for a superhero film since the original Spider-Man. That's right, $58.63 million in its second weekend. Its 10-day domestic total in the U.S., $206.5 million. I'm sorry, that's North America. 24th biggest second weekend from the 40th biggest opening weekend. It's completely impressive, and all those stats come to me straight from Forbes.com. Guys, what do you think this means for superhero movies going forward? Because you have Gal Gadot inspiring women across the world. And Brenda, I want to start with you.
Yeah, God, I'm so happy to be like living right now because like there's so many good things happening in like media and just like so many awesome changes occurring. It took so long for us to like, we've had superhero movies for like about a decade now. It's been like a really big thing. And this is like the first one with like a female lead. It took that long. And there was a lot riding on this movie. Like, if it didn't do well, you know, unfortunate as it is, that would have been it for a while at least. But yeah, the fact that it's doing so well is just so cool. And like, you know, I work at the comic book store, so I see like a lot of people coming in of like all ages who are just like super stoked about this movie, and they're like reading Wonder Woman and they're just like feeling very empowered by this movie that...
Yeah, I'm going to go Grant on you for a second.
Yeah.
How many prospectors are you seeing now buying like older Wonder Woman books or buying kind of the variant Wonder Woman covers, expecting the value to go up as this movie continues to succeed?
I haven't seen any. Well, one, we don't have any old Wonder Woman stuff just because no one brings it in.
Right.
But I haven't seen any like speculators for it at all. And like I see, like, you know, we get Venom speculators a lot. We get a lot of Marvel speculators. None for Wonder Woman for some reason. None. But
weird.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I kind of know. I think I have a hunch.
Well, go ahead. Here's the place to spit it.
I just think it might be like people are still underestimating it. Like it's big.
Right.
But the people who are speculators, and this is going to sound very negative, aren't going to pay attention to this.
No.
Yeah.
You're right. A lot of speculators are your stereotypical
yes.
traditional nerds.
Yes.
They are heavy breathing, heavy set, older white males.
Yeah. And it's like I purchased back issues for the store. So I deal with like a lot of different people and like these speculators a lot.
John, are you shifting as a sweaty white male?
Well, yeah, and I can't see you,
short.
So I'm trying to prompt.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I'll sit up.
No,
I'll sit
it's,
up
cool. It's cool. It's cool. It's these chairs. New tomorrow. So
what about you, John?
It's the
I mean, you've seen Wonder Woman. You've enjoyed it and basked in its gloriousness.
Well, I think, like Brenda said, I think it's great because it is going to open a lot of doors. But when you look at it, I think... Yeah.
These chairs are so loud.
Is the mic picking these chairs up? Because it's just like, no, it's can't hear mine too much. But.
It's okay.
Wonder Woman is doing fantastic at the box office, and it really is. But a terrible movie like Suicide Squad is still more than likely going to make more money than it. And that, to me, is bad.
Did Suicide Squad make more money?
Suicide Squad, I believe, has like
data,
$336
Drew?
Million. Dollars.
To the interwebs?
We need some data on Suicide Squad's numbers.
How much did Suicide Squad make in its opening weekend?
I'm on it, kids. You keep talking, John.
It was 100. I'm pretty sure it's $130 million in its opening weekend, which is $30 million more than Wonder Woman.
That's crazy to me.
And it made $745 million worldwide, and it made $336 million in the U.S.,
$325.1
million
domestically.
So that was close.
Foreign was $420.5 million. Worldwide, $745. You had that right. Opening weekend, it did $133.6
And how much did Wonder Woman do?
I will look that up right now.
It's like $105 or something.
But Let's see. Wonder Woman. Here we go. Opening weekend gross, 103. You're right.
So that's bad. I think a movie like Wonder Woman should do better, and it will hopefully make the second movie, because a lot of times the first movie is over, or like not the greatest one, like Captain America. Like the second one, sometimes you get the better movie out of the second one, Iron Man 2, which is, Iron Man is better.
Whoa.
I'm like, what's happening?
Spider-Man 2.
Here's the thing.
Spider-Man 2.
Let me see if I can help you out. Let me see if I can help you out here, because I understand what you're saying. It's frustrating that Wonder Woman, on the strength of incredible reviews before it came out, on an incredibly high, I mean, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes before opening weekend. It's still in the 90s. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a juggernaut. Suicide Squad was panned, was hated, was generally poorly received by critics. Fans were a little bit more gentle on it. I know. I don't know why either, Brenda.
I'm shaking my head.
I know. I thought it was atrocious as a movie, not just as a superhero
movie. It's unwatchable.
It is.
Almost.
I watched half of it.
And it doesn't have
it.
Any empowering
message.
Harley Quinn's in it, but she's not.
Bad guys can be good people too.
And it's like, I don't even know what the plot is in that movie.
No.
But here's the thing with Wonder Woman, and I do think it will gross more in the end. So the first weekend wasn't quite as strong, but people are going to go back to see Wonder Woman.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
So in the long run, I think it will make more money. Mm-hmm. But just like for what it is, I think Wonder Woman 2 will be like the bang. Like it's going to make $150 million its first weekend.
You know what's
like,
going to get the bang out of this is Justice League.
Yeah.
And that's something we wanted to hit on as well, is Justice League is getting a bunch of reported reshoots to include more Wonder Woman and more of her backstory. So I think they're hoping, and if I'm Warner Brothers, I'm banking hard on.
You have to.
You have to get that pop from how good Wonder Woman was to get people to buy back into this universe you're creating.
Yeah, because like up until this point, I haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, but I'm pretty assured I'm going to enjoy it.
You will 100% enjoy that movie.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a given. I'll see it eventually, but I'm going to see it as soon as possible, but I'm going to see it. But what was I talking about? Heck.
So it's okay. Stacey, what about you as a strong, empowered female?
Is that what I am?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That's your role on this show.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What do you think about all the success Wonder Woman is having? Does it make you happy for the success of future female-led movies? I mean, we've got Atomic Blonde coming out yet this month. You've got Captain Marvel in the works over at Marvel.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to do what Deadpool did for R-rated comic book movies. I mean, look at what happened with Logan. So they do Deadpool, and then we get Logan, and Logan was freaking unbelievable. I mean, that was a fantastic movie. So the hope for me, anyways, is that Wonder Woman is going to lead off and inspire all of these other universes, I guess, to maybe pay more attention. I know for a fact that I have watched the Atomic Blonde trailer at least 15 times because I can't get enough of it. I mean, Charlize Theron kicking ass. Holy shit. That movie is going to be amazing.
Huh? Sophia Boutella, who's the mummy in the new Mummy movie, is also in Atomic Blonde.
Yes, she is. She plays one of the...
They're both super badass women. So.
Hell yeah. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Well, and I think the underlying point, I want to move on to our next little hodgepodge thing in a second here, is how positive this is for female directors.
Yes.
I mean, Patty Jenkins knocked it out of the park with this thing. The direction has been praised up and down by every critic. I haven't heard a single. John, other than your small issue with the overuse a little bit of the 300-style fight scenes.
That's all due to Snyder, though. He did still write some of this movie.
Right, he still worked on this film. And my other positive before we go, and I think, Brenda, you'll appreciate this. This is the first DC film Jeff Johns has had his fingers in.
I heckin' love Jeff Johns.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, if Jeff Johns is going to put his hands on the rest of this universe, bless him. Blessings.
Yes, yes. Like, no one knows these characters better. He understands, like, the emotional aspects of these characters, which is what the previous movies have been missing. So with him, like, involved with it, I think we're going to see, like, a lot more of, like, the emotional aspects and more character development and less just, like, boring action and artsy stuff.
Now, speaking of no boring action or artsy stuff and having all the right people involved, the Black Panther trailer dropped this week.
It looks so good.
Oh, my goodness. Racked up 89 million views in its first 24 hours of existence.
John, you're not allowed to move anymore.
I know.
John, stop moving. Yeah, or like stand up or something.
You have the loudest chair.
My foot got numb. Sorry.
And we'll fix that in post. No, but, I mean, These numbers are insane. Chadwick Boseman, of course, returns as T'Challa, but that's only a small part of this incredible cast that includes Michael B. Jordan. Again, Marvel giving a failed Human Torch a chance to redeem himself.
Yes. I saw that on the internet today.
Yeah. That one is great. But the big key to me is not only is this a perfect trailer, and I want to get into that in a little more in a second, Ryan Coogler is the perfect person to do this film. I mean, there is no one else I would have wanted helming this movie. The man should have had an Oscar for Creed after how damn good that thing was. You took Sylvester Stallone and made him relevant again.
Yes.
I didn't think that was possible. So Coogler doing this, writing it, directing it, being such a big part of it, working with some of the best actors on the planet, gives me nothing but hopefulness and happiness. And I'm going to let you lead off, Stacey, because you were pretty blown away when we watched this. You immediately went, can we do that again?
Yeah, whenever I see, I mean, it's the same thing that I did with Atomic Blonde. It was just like, there was way too much awesomeness going on. And then you get like 2 minutes and 20 seconds to figure it all out. And I had to watch it again. Massive cast of, admittedly, actors and actresses that I don't really know. But immediately I'm like, who is that person? I want to know who they are and what else they've been in. Because, holy crap, that looks really, really amazing. The fight scenes were incredible. These massive shots, which I love
those. The set pieces just holy cow.
Oh, I'm very excited for that. I know you guys were talking about it being like the best movie yet.
Well, it's probably the best trailer I think Marvel has dropped ever, because we still know nothing about the actual story other than if you're a Black Panther fan, if you've read some of the stuff, you can take a few guesses, take a few stabs at what's going on. The soundtrack for it, Run the Jewels, just
so good.
Bumps through the whole thing, and it fits the futuristic feel of Wakanda perfectly. Brenda, what did you think watching that?
Gosh, there was just like, there was so much happening in it. It was just like image, but like all the costuming and all the set pieces and the action, and just, it was a lot to take in, but it looked incredible. And it's like, there's a bunch of new faces that I haven't seen before, and they look awesome. Like, everyone just looks super great. And I'm like, the costume is good. Like, the Black Panther, we saw it in Civil War.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, a really awesome translation of the comic book costume into film.
Well, and I love how they showed it, too, because, like, he turns around and they're, like, firing machine guns or something at him. And it's just, you can tell that it's bulletproof. And he just kind of looks at him. And that the suit gives that attitude of, really? Like,
come on.
Really?
When he comes out of the shadows and it's just like, there he is. Yeah. There's Black Panther.
There's like a trailer breakdown of this, and it's a different suit, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like either going to be like before, like when his dad was Black Panther, or it's going to be like a future, like a end of the movie type of suit. Like, so it might be like a flashback, or is what I'm gathering from it, from the trailer breakdown that I watched. It's like, because it's two different suits.
Yeah, I was very confused about where this movie's going to take place.
Well, it's kind of like a mythical place.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's been hidden for years, and now,
I mean, like
most people go to, what is it, go to Africa for a certain reason.
Black Panther lore is like hidden, like in
that little
area.
It's a hidden nation, and you kind of get that in the beginning when Everett Ross, Martin Freeman's character, is asking Ulysses Klaue, Andy Serkis's character, about Wakanda, and saying, it's shepherds, it's sheep.
Yeah.
It's a peaceful nation. And he laughs at him because the people of Wakanda do a great job not letting the outside world know that they exist. And that's hinted at in Civil War.
Yeah.
That it's time for them to join the world.
Yeah, I meant like when, I know where it's taking place. I meant like what time, like time-wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because like, I mean, his dad's like narrating, like there's the scene with Martin
Freeman. Yeah.
Martin Freeman at the beginning doing the interrogation, and I'm like, I don't know, like, is this going to be like a prequel? Is this going to be like take place after Civil War, when the nation's kind of like coming more into like public eye? I don't know.
I think it takes place after. The only reason why is because he doesn't have a hand.
Well, one of the things Kevin Feige has hinted at is that all of these movies are released sequentially, so they're all taking place in order.
So we're not going to get one that's like a prequel.
Right. I thought Doctor Strange was going to be out of order.
Yeah,
you know,
but
so
it
he
wasn't.
Could be established as the Sorcerer Supreme, but...
Isn't Guardians 2 out of order, though?
Parts of it, maybe, but it's allegedly supposed to be completely in order, like, according to Marvel. So we'll see about that. This cast is bonkers. I mean, Lupita Nyong'o, Michael B. Jordan, Chadwick Boseman, Martin Freeman, Angela Bassett, Forest Whitaker. I mean, you've got Felicia Rashad in an unlisted role yet.
Yeah, it's like, wait.
And Brenda, maybe you can chime in on this. Mm. It looks like they're borrowing a lot of elements from the most recent Black Panther relaunch from Ta-Nehisi Coates.
It really does. Like, even just like some of like the smaller aspects of it, like the costuming and just like the sets and just like the feeling of the characters that I got from the trailer. It's very reminiscent of Ta-Nehisi Coates' run on Black Panther from like the main series and also from World of Wakanda, which was a mini series.
The weaponry looks like a lot of it is ripped straight out of his pages.
Yes.
So very, very cool stuff there. And really, really, really exciting things. Something that had a few people excited and something we thought we'd have a little bit of fun with this week. Was the website, was it Jezebel, John? Because we sent this off. Was they selected the superior of the Chrises.
Yeah, I think it was, it's Jezebel.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying it wrong.
Jezebel?
No.
John, Jezebel? Jezebel.
Is it Jezebel?
There it is.
There's my boy.
That's it.
Welcome.
But they selected their top Chris. Now, this is kind of a fun little nerd debate that I thought we could have. Is of the four famous nerd Chrises, because they are all squarely in the nerd camp.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pine, Chris Evans, Chris Pratt, and Chris Hemsworth.
God, that's a lot of good Chrises.
That's a whole lot of man right there.
Yeah.
Jezebel has selected Chris Pine as their top Chris.
No.
Mostly because of his work in Wonder Woman. They said it's a controversial choice. Even our own Kelly Faircloth disagreed, saying he's a fake Kirk, fighting for Chris Hemsworth as the superior Chris.
Wow.
So they said they've used pictures of Chris Pine hugging Michelle Obama as one of their endorsements, talking about how the roles Pine has taken on demand more performance than those from Hemsworth, than those from Evans, or those from Pratt. Now, Chris Pratt, hate saying this. If we're going to rank the Chrises, as much as I may love him, and Everwood Miller's going to get pissed at me about this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Pratt's squarely on the bottom of these four Chrises, isn't he?
Really?
Fuck you, Drew.
Oh, see? I get it. Hot takes all day.
I would tend to agree with you, only because he's kind of the same guy in every movie.
Yes, like, he's just Chris Pratt.
Really
You take Star-Lord, and you can put him directly in to Parks and Rec, who you can take and directly put into Jurassic World, who then you can directly
what about
put
Everwood, John?
Everwood. Yes, then he's just younger Chris Pratt. I'm sorry. Chris Pratt is the least of the currently famous Chrises. And to get this out of the way, by the way, because we had a debate about this in our little Court of Nerds chat. Chrises different from Christophers.
Okay, so
Christopher Walken can't be included.
Damn it, he's my top Christopher.
Christopher Reeves is my top Christopher.
Yes,
I got one for you.
Lee is up there. Yeah.
I got one for you, though.
What do you got?
You're talking nerd Chrises, right?
Yeah.
Brittany threw this one at me.
Oh, our friend from Comic-Con, Brittany, B-Stick.
Little Chris Hardwick.
I mean, Chris Hardwick, is like a nerd king, sure.
He's a nerd king, man.
But he's not an actor, he's not in movies, so that doesn't count. I thought you were going to come at me with some MC Chris action, some Fetz Vet, but all right. I'm not let down at all. So who would you guys endorse as the top Chris? I don't know if we want to go from the bottom up. I think we've kind of settled. If you guys are hearing sirens in the background, this is being recorded during Game 6 of the Griffins Calder Cup playoff run. Downtown Grand Rapids is abuzz with action. You can't get anywhere tonight.
It's going to get crazy.
Yes, it is. I will not be down here after 9 o'clock.
I'm locking myself in my home. And I'm shutting the windows.
That's right. Save your cat and just sit there and make those adorable, like, plushies that you sell.
Yes.
And if, by the way, do you have an Etsy store or do you just sell at cons?
Oh, so I do have an Etsy, but it's not currently open. I'm trying to, like, give it a rehaul after my convention season. I'll be at JFAX this weekend taking commissions. I don't have a lot of stock because I was at ColossalCon 2 weeks ago and I sold everything.
Awesome.
So I've been trying to, like, get stock back up. But my handle on most platforms is Brenda Makes Things, so...
Cool. Well, let us know when you reopen. We'll get you up on the Court of Nerds. We'll do a little feature on you.
Awesome.
Sweet. So, sorry, ADHD, noises, people, distracted. Who is your top Chris? And you guys are welcome to chime in on this as you listen to the podcast. Leave a comment on the comments section at thecourtofnerds.com. John, I'm going to start with you. I feel like you probably have a strong Chris take.
I liked the article's point on Hemsworth being better, the better Kirk. because they're going to both be in Star Trek 4. And Thor's, I mean, Thor's
not freaking a hard role to play, though. And that'd
be my
counter.
I mean, I'm too small to be Thor, but I could throw a hammer up.
I mean, think about, have you seen Ghostbusters, Brenda?
Yes, yes.
Okay. He was phenomenal
that
in that movie.
That was a great role.
In all honesty, I mean,
he played a dumb guy like any dumb guy would play.
But
a
he's
guy.
Not a dumb
you
guy.
Could put, all I'm saying is you could put Pratt in that role, and he'd probably play
what
a dumb guy
hell?
Just as well.
I don't think y'all got to be taking gut punches?
It's not a gut punch. Julia dislikes Chris Pratt or
no,
the character that he plays
love
in every
Chris
movie.
Pratt.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
I will defend him since he is not here to do so.
At this time.
Yes. Please,
you,
please,
you,
please get a hold of us.
Are you
if
putting
you
Pratt atop your crisp pyramid?
You know, here's the
sexy
thing.
Pyramid.
Here's
it,
the
yeah,
thing.
That is everyone on this list.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason that I have to go with Chris Pratt because
I knew it.
Well, yeah, everyone. I mean, come on.
Damn it.
He very slim margin beat out Chris Hemsworth because don't get me wrong, like. Holy shit, all of them are amazing. I've never really felt anything for Chris Pine. Like, yeah, he's great and everything, but it's just kind of like, oh, he's there and he's beautiful. Okay, like,
yeah,
I get it, but I don't feel it at the same time. Who was the other one? Chris Hemsworth.
I've been trying to remember his name for five Pine. Minutes, and I forgot.
Who's
Evans?
The fourth?
Evans.
Yeah, see, that's why he's not on my list.
Oh, the hottest of takes.
It's the goofiness of Chris Pratt because he can make me laugh and Chris Hemsworth can make me laugh.
Have you not seen Not Another Teen Movie?
Oh, right?
Maybe.
Chris
like a
Evans,
long time ago.
Black-haired star
Scott
as
Scott Pilgrim versus the World? Chris Evans is killer in that movie.
No.
I feel like Chris Evans is also kind of the same character in every movie. He's like the very confused guy.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, he's like just confused. He's like, I have firepower.
Oh, well, he's super bro before he got into the role of Captain America.
No,
that's when his acting changed.
He was
that's when he becomes number one bro.
Yeah.
No, not
he's
at
like
all.
Leader of the bros.
No, when you're Captain America, you're not leader of the bros. You're 5'5" and then get to be 6'3".
Oh, is this a personal dream of yours,
no,
John?
Well, kinda. I'm still waiting for that growth spurt. But still, no. That's
that
why
a low blow, Miller.
That's why they fucking picked him to be.
Hang on. I have
Am
John's
I not
back.
Wrong?
I have John's back. Evans is my number one Chris.
Really?
Really? What?
Okay, two reasons. One, Snowpiercer was incredible. He was incredible in it.
Yeah.
He took that movie and owned it. What Chris Evans did, okay, because Chris Pine, and I'm just going by the most iconic role that I have of them in my head, okay? Chris Pine is Captain Kirk. Good, but not really better than the original, and there's
yeah,
a lot of questions
Shatner.
About it. You're not Shatner. You know, he's good, but he's not incredible. Hemsworth is Thor. Man, put a hammer in my hand, I can probably be Thor with some long hair and a whole lot of working out.
See?
Right?
Mini Thor.
Pratt, same guy in every movie. That's why there's three Pratts, three movies. He's been the same in all of them. Chris Evans took one of comics' most potentially boring characters on screen. Because, let's be real here, Captain America is like Superman without the powers.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thank you.
And Chris Evans has made us all love the shit out of Captain America to the point where we got pissed off when someone fucked with him in the comic books.
I'm still angry.
I'm still angry, too.
I'm always going to be angry. Everyone's like, Secret Empire is actually really great. And I'm just like,
no.
Yes,
who
but
says
I'm,
that?
I'm
Who's lying to you?
It's Tony.
You tell Tony to read the reviews on thecourtofnerds.com because Kevin has been vomiting every time he reads that book. Blood.
Yeah, we don't
He's
even like Marvel
blood.
Anymore. We're done.
We
exited Marvel.
It feels really great as a DC fan who was like on a sinking island for a while.
Yeah,
of like,
oh,
shit.
God.
Like that Marvel's now kind of terrible and everyone's, I'm just like, come to my island, everyone. Read Batman. Read Superman.
Come to this sweet island of rebirth.
Superman is the best it's been in 10 years.
No disagreement. No disagreement there. The so entire good. DC franchise, and we talked to Gavin from Tardies about this last week, DC is the best it's possibly been since what, the 80s or early 90s?
Oh, yeah. I feel like at least the 80s, early 90s. Like, yeah. So, like, Kingdom Come era, like, that kind of stuff. Like,
I mean, shit, Green Arrow is relevant again.
It's so good. Everything is good.
Yeah. There's a few books you can poke holes in. You know, Vendetti's Green Lantern stuff isn't killer, but it's not bad.
It's a good Green Lantern. It's a solid Green
Lantern
story.
It's a solid Green Lantern book.
It's Hal Jordan in his element. It's not, like, trying to be like, I'm going to be a bad guy now.
Right. Yeah. You're not trying to fuck with him. You're letting him be the all-American hero that he is. Anyways, tangenting. Chris Evans, number one Chris on my list because he took a character that could have bombed and destroyed the Marvel Cinematic Universe and made him incredibly interesting, incredibly likable, and you want to root for him. You were rooting for him against Iron Man. Half the country was.
Everybody loves Robert Downey.
Everybody loves Robert Downey. You turned me against Robert Downey, you beautiful hunk of Chris.
And all I'm saying before I got interrupted by Stacy, because I didn't get to pick my Chris yet.
Oh, baby, I'm sorry.
So I'm also going with Evans.
Well, I made a compelling argument. That's what I do. Brenda.
I'm sticking with
Pratt. Here we go. I'm going to agree with Stacy.
Yes!
Oh!
It's the boys against the girls!
Yeah, it's like, it's the exact same reasoning. You were like, Chris Pratt makes me laugh. And that was my exact reasoning. I'm like, yeah, he makes me laugh. And then
only is he gorgeous,
yeah,
he can make a girl laugh.
Yes, and that's important.
Okay. That is key. No, it's super key.
I mean,
super
the comedy key. Is key, but I still laugh at Chris Evans. I find
fucking
him funny.
Chair.
His Twitter game, Chris Evans' Twitter game is strong. His Twitter game is strong.
He
too.
Is. Chris Evans is like a puppy, and I cherish him. I definitely do cherish him. Like I don't hate him, but if I have to pick my favorite Chris, it's Chris Pratt.
I think that's the title of this week's episode. Chris Evans is like a puppy.
I think that might be the title of this week's episode.
All of them to come defend themselves.
Preferably nude in Stacy's house.
Yes, please. I will not argue that.
I would pet them.
I would turn on my air conditioning for them.
You would, hold on.
Whoa, air conditioning.
People don't realize how big this is that Stacy just offered to turn on her air conditioning for a man.
A woman sleeps in her basement because she's, I'm not spending the money.
I'm not turning on the air conditioning.
I'd rather die in heat.
That's right. I'd rather spend $90,000 on cameras. I'm Stacy.
That's you. That's what you sound like.
Oh, good.
That
heavens.
Being said, we are your court. John, did I miss anything on the rundown today? Did I miss anything? I think we hit everything.
The Mummy.
We were going to talk about the Mummy.
Oh, yeah, the Mummy.
But we don't
sucks.
Need to because it was terrible and they're stealing the Dark Universe name from DC. That's how I feel
yeah,
about
that's
it. Goodbye.
Bullshit. Wait, no, I have some things about the Mummy.
Brenda's got some shit to say. We're going to let Brenda say some
shit. Why do we still let Tom Cruise do movies?
There you go!
I thought we all agreed he was terrible and here we are. We're just like, no, it's fine. Also, the Mummy herself. It's cool the Mummy's a lady. Like, that's neat.
Lady Mummy's cool.
I like Sofia Boutella. I just wish she'd get better roles.
No, I feel like someone else should be playing the Mummy because she's an Egyptian mummy. And Rigel, here, she's white, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the
She's
fuck?
Like Italian, Spanish.
Oh, no way.
Or
John
something.
Likes an Italian woman. I'm shocked.
Hey.
But the Italians don't live in Egypt.
No, they don't.
No, it's true. And this is the same thing that killed Ghost in the Shell.
Exactly.
Yeah. Terrible casting.
It's like, why did you do that? Like, she's a great actress. And Scarlett Jo is a great actress. But someone else should have these roles.
Right. Exactly.
Was the OG mummy Egyptian? Was that dude Egyptian?
I believe he was, actually.
If
he
wasn't, he looked it, which is actually worse.
Like, they could have gotten, who's Mr. Robot?
Wait, I gotta research this.
Oh, Rami Malek?
Yeah, they could have just done another guy mummy and got him. He's a
Rami Malek.
I would watch
he's
that.
He's so beautiful.
Oh. Yeah,
his bone structure is outrageous.
I mean, like,
wow, we've spent far more time talking about gorgeous dudes on this podcast than we normally do. Not that we don't normally.
That's because there's two women in
here
now.
That's my specialty. That's what I do.
These gorgeous dudes?
Yeah, that's what...
Well played, bro. Well played. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Don't forget Grand Rapids Comic Con coming up this October 20th through the 22nd. Find our friend Brenda at JFAX this weekend. Get your commissions in. This girl's stuff is so fucking cool. I'm not blowing smoke. I've loved your stuff forever. You make adorable things that people want to snuggle up with when they go to bed at night, which is phenomenal. So that being said, we are your Court of Nerds. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Jen.
Catch you next week.
I'm West Coast Avenger Greg. We are the Court of Nerds podcast. You can find us on Facebook, The Court of Nerds, on Twitter at court_of_nerds, and make sure you check out Emily's obligatory MCU versus DCU piece, or read why Grant thinks facial hair should actually factor into major movie review scores for Wonder Woman. Here's a hint, it doesn't, and Grant is wrong. TheCourtOfNerds.com.